Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was reading through the scriptures for this week, a poem came to mind. Maybe you've heard of it before. It's by Robert Frost. The Road Not Taken. Maybe some of you had to memorize it at some point in school. I don't know. There are a few verses that are very familiar, but I wanted to read the whole thing and consider the scriptures as I read these words of Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Familiar words for some of us. The image of choice set in front of the traveler. Options, roads diverging, one going one way, one going another, and given the opportunity, after studying them, seeing how they looked, which one to take? Our scripture readings, all three of them, present us with a road diverged in the wood. One or the other. Which way do you want to go? Having choice or having the ability to look at these two roads and choose one to travel is important for us. However, not like Frost, whose roads seemed equally as good and would have ended up however they would have ended up, making not a great bit of difference if he had chosen one over the other and traveled down the other road, perhaps it would have ended differently, who knows. For us, as Christians, we are given that opportunity to look down those roads, but the end is told to us. We know the end of one road and we know the end of the other. It's revealed. There's no doubt. And then honestly, is there really a choice? God in Deuteronomy talks to the Israelites and he says, I'm putting this before you. You have good and you have evil. You get to make the choice. You can choose the good, follow me, follow my statutes, follow my commandments, do what I say, be my people, and I will give you this land to possess, and it will be great and abundant, and you'll have all of those blessings. Choose evil, and it will not go well for you. You will not live long in the land, and in the end, it leads to death. So God puts it before the people. Good, life, evil, death. Here you go. There's no doubt, looking down that road, if you're standing there in the yellow wood with Frost and you're looking down one road or the other, and you look down this road and you see life, and good, and wonderful blessings. And you look down this road and you see darkness and trial and struggle and death. Honestly, which would you choose? It's a no-brainer, right? Yeah, we'd like to say that. But how often are we presented with that opportunity and make the wrong choice? How often do we have that clear and no doubt in your mind and faith and grace and love and forgiveness and mercy? And we think, oh, that's what I want. And then we look down this road and we see struggle and trial and pain and suffering and all of these things. We say, oh, I don't want that. And yet when the opportunity comes, so often we go, well, it's not really that bad. It couldn't last forever. And we maybe wander down that path just a little ways, just to see how bad it really is. The problem with that path, as you've already discovered because you're alive, and if you're honest with yourself as a living human being, you've wandered down that path. Whatever that path is for you, we all have that path. And once we start to wander down that path, it's not just a level, easy going. It starts to do this, and we end up tumbling down. It's not an easy choice. Paul does the same with the people in Corinth. He says, look, I should be teaching you as mature Christians, but you're not there yet because all you're doing is bickering over Apollos or Paul. What's good? What's good? What's better? Who's better? Who does the better preaching? Who sings the better hymns? Who has the better music? Who's better at this? Oh, it started in Corinth. Paul says, come on. You can continue doing that. You can continue bickering and arguing and fighting and backbiting and in choosing one thing over another. Or you can follow Jesus. Because it's God who gives the growth. These guys over here, they're just doing the work. But it's God who does the blessing. It's God who gives the gifts. It's God who delivers. It's God who does all of this. But you're still over here, bickering and fighting. And we'd like to say 2,000 years from then that it's changed and we're all through with that. Boy, we'd like to say that. But unfortunately, here we are, 2020, and we still fight. We still argue. We still bicker. We have all sorts of little different things that we fight about, but it's pretty much the same. I like it this way, not that way. I like it the way it used to be, not the way that it is. Can't we just go back to doing it this way and not change that? And we argue and we fight. And Paul is over here saying, come on. Let's put this away. Let's be done with this stuff. Let's worship. Let's celebrate. Let's enjoy the gifts that God has given us. Let's not do this over here. It's tough. Being a Christian is hard. We'd like to say that it's the easy road, but it's not. We'd like to say that we mature and grow past these things, but we don't. Jesus in the gospel, boy, he doesn't make it any easier, does he? Our gospel reading is a tough reading today. It is a challenging reading today. When we hear what Jesus has to say about these different aspects of life, it's hard. But he's doing the same thing. He's saying, we have this road. We have this diverged road. We have this sitting here in the yellow wood, looking down each road. But neither is easier than the other. He says to the disciples who are listening to him, he says, you've heard that it was said to those of old. In other words, he's saying, you know how this is supposed to go. He says, you shall not murder. We'll start there. You shall not murder. He's basically going through the commandments again, in case you missed that in the reading. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. These are things that he's going through. And he says, you've heard that. You know that. You know how that's supposed to go. He says, but I'm saying that the way that you've been going with that stuff, you're not getting any better. So he says, I'm going to tell you what it's really talking about. See, murdering is not just about taking someone else's life. It goes much deeper than that. That's an action. That's an outward expression of something that's going on in here. And this is where Jesus always wants to go. He's not as concerned about what the hands are doing as where the heart is, because what comes out of the heart is what translates into action. So Jesus is saying, as you're looking down these roads, is it just about what you do or about what's in your heart? He's saying it's about what's in here, because anger and expression of that anger gets us into more trouble. I know typically when we say, you know, thou shalt not murder, you know, we say, well, I haven't done that. But Jesus is saying it's not about that. It's about this. What's in here? So when Paul's talking about all of the anger and the bickering and the fighting and the backbiting, Jesus is saying this is where it comes from. This is the wrong path. This just makes it worse. He says the same thing about lust and adultery. He said it's not just about the outward action. It's not just about cheating on your spouse. He says it starts from in here, because once it starts here, it goes everywhere. Once your eye sees something, once your hand touches something, it's that road that goes downhill. He says the same thing about divorce. It's not just about the outward action. It's about everything connected with it. About swearing falsely, about giving oaths. He says all of this other extra talk, it's all extra, it's all unnecessary, and it all leads down this road that goes deep into destruction. He says, just say yes or no. Yes or no. Don't mess it up with all of this other stuff. Two roads. Which do we choose? What do we do? Because as we read all of this, as we hear all of this, we know what we'd like to do. We'd love to be able to be in this realm, in this world of goodness and grace and joy and celebration, and yet we find ourselves in this realm over here with all of the destruction and all of the suffering and all of the arguing and all of the bad stuff that leads one direction. And we're standing there at that crossroads every single day. So what do? Where do we go? How do we know? For us, it's all about who is standing next to us. And I'm not talking about your spouse or your friend or anyone else. I'm talking about Jesus. As he stands there next to you, as he stands there next to you, as you're looking down that road, the thing that Jesus doesn't do is shove you one way or the other. He doesn't drag you, although sometimes it feels that way. drags you kicking and screaming in the right direction, even when you don't want to go that way. He guides. He leads. He shows you which way to go. But he does something more than that. See, Jesus can see where both roads end. He can see the big picture. And he knows. He knows the way that we, in our, I'll use the term very loosely because, well, in our free will, it's not really free. We can talk about that later. We would go down this road every single time. So what Jesus does is he says, you know, I'm going to go down that road. You go ahead and take this path. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go down the road of death and destruction and suffering and loneliness and evil and sin. I'm going to go down that road because you would never make it out alive. So I'm going to go down that road. You take this road of peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness. I'm going to go down the road of destruction. And that's what he does. He goes down that road. He goes down that road all the way to the cross. And it's interesting that the cross is sometimes described as being at a crossroads. It's a place where a lot of people go. And there's Jesus on the cross going down that road. And he takes that road even further than we could ever go. And he takes that road all the way down into the darkness of death. And he comes back out the other side. And he says, you don't have to go down that road. I've taken that road. And I'm closing that road off. I'm putting up guardrails, and I'm putting up protection, and I'm saying, this road, you don't have to travel anymore. So we take the road that Jesus gives us. We take the path. And sometimes it feels like the road less traveled. But it's the road that Jesus gives to us. And as Frost says, it has made all the difference. Amen. May the peace that is ours in Christ, the peace on that road, the road of life, may that guard and keep us always in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.